I think that a very cursory review of the history of the expunction statute, which is a brief history, should compel the a finding or a conclusion that the legislature has always intended to bar and prohibit the expunction of records of arrest leading to a misdemeanor probation, and that they have maintained and expressed that intention throughout the history of the statute. The statute was promulgated in 1977, I believe, by the 65th legislature. So the Code Construction Act, which applies to codes that are amended or enacted after the 60th legislature, does apply. The original statute banned the expunction of any misdemeanor case in which an information was filed by the district attorney's office as a pleading instrument. That statute was viewed by many as too restrictive, and in 1979, they amended it to permit expunction of misdemeanor cases in which a information is filed by the district attorney's office as a pleading, but it is subsequently dismissed or the defendant is acquitted. They did, however, add a provision that barred expunction of records of arrest that resulted in court-ordered supervision under Article 42.13, the misdemeanor probation statute. All of the courts to consider that language in the interval between 1979 and the recent emergence of this problem held that any form of adult probation constitutes court-ordered supervision under Article 42.13, the misdemeanor probation statute, whether it's a deferred adjudication probation or whether the court proceeds to a finding of guilt, suspends the imposition of sentence, and places the person on probation. The problem began to arise in 1985 when the provisions concerning the imposition of misdemeanor probation were, as I previously mentioned, merged with Article 42.12, the adult probation statute, to create a consolidated probation statute. The legislature did not amend the expunction statute in 1985 to correct the reference to 42.13. 42.13 existed only to the extent that it set out certain conditions of probation that can be required of misdemeanor probationers until 1987, at which time those provisions were also merged into the new consolidated adult probation statute, and Article 42.13 was entirely repealed. Between 87 and 89, there was no Article 42.13 in the Code of Criminal Procedure. And I apologize if I neglected to mention we're talking about the Code of Criminal Procedure. I usually practice across the hall, and there's a little different forum. That error was remedied by the legislature, the 71st legislature, in 1989. The statute, the expunction statute, was amended to bar the expunction of arrest that resulted in court-ordered probation. They changed the word supervision to probation to remedy a different problem that's not in this case. And they also corrected the reference to 42.13 to read 42.12. That amendment was given prospective effect only by the legislature. I believe that is because if it was given an entirely retroactive effect, it would create a new problem concerning arrests for offenses that occurred prior to 1985. In other words, if a reference to 42.12 was retroactive, then probations under 42.13 still would not be covered under the statute if they occurred prior to 1985. So the legislature gave it a prospective effective date, which brings us to the case at bar. We have a statute that at the time of the filing of this petition, well, at the time that the respondent entered a plea of guilty and received misdemeanor probation, the expunction statute read that you cannot expunge a court-ordered supervision under 4213. This defendant, the respondent before you, did not receive probation under 4213, but rather under the new 4212 consolidated statute. The two courts below held that they had apparently had no power or ability to construe the reference to Article 4213 or court-ordered supervision under 4213 as meaning misdemeanor probation as the legislature clearly intended. This court, on the other hand, has held many times, primarily notably, in the case cited in our application named Terrell, that the fundamental rule of statutory construction is to ascertain legislative intent and to enforce that intent even if it is not entirely or altogether consistent with the strict letter of the statute.
Counsel, let me ask you a question. Case law seems very clear that the purpose of the expunction statute is to remove the arrest record of those who are wrongfully arrested. Is there any doubt that this woman was wrongfully arrested?
Yes, Your Honor. This woman was not wrongfully arrested.
Did she plead guilty?
She entered a plea of guilty or nolo contendere. I believe it was guilty. And the court at that time deferred adjudication of her guilt under the Code of Criminal Procedures, Article 4213 of the time.
Is the smuggling of drugs into the United States a serious problem facing this country?
Yes, Your Honor.
Is that what she was convicted of?
Yes, Your Honor. It was a small amount of drugs, but we are conducting a highly publicized and important war on drugs, and that's just one of the misdemeanors that concerns our office as far as the potential for their expunction.
She was a student coming in from a foreign country on the way to her state that she had a small amount of marijuana.
That's correct, Your Honor. We are...
How intact was the move from 4213 to 4212?
How intact, Your Honor? As I said, it occurred in two moves. There were actually two moves. Part of the statute, the part concerning the imposition of probations, was moved in 85. The remainder was moved in 87. So if the court below, the 14th Court of Appeals, is correct in finding that probations given during that period when there was no Article 4213 are subject to expunction, that the boundaries of that period still remain to be set out. I'm not sure whether it's a two-year period or a four-year period that we're talking about.
If the Court of Appeals were correct, wouldn't this not allow people convicted of DWI to go back and expunge their records?
That is another question that remains to be determined. There is a serious concern that that is a possibility.
Now, if you expunge the record of a person on a first DWI conviction, it doesn't exist. Am I correct?
It would be entirely unavailable for future use, evidentiary use, and punishment. Yes.
Now, under the law of the state of Texas, if you receive a second DWI conviction, you receive jail time, do you not?
There are mandatory jail times as a condition of probation for subsequent DWI offenses.
But
yes.
If the Court of Appeals opinion stands, then many people would be able to expunge their first DWI conviction so that when they receive their second, they still would receive no jail time.
And that could be done successively, indefinitely, without ever accomplishing the result of having an increasing punishment for subsequent offenses. There are a number of...
The legislature, though, chose to repeal 4213 and incorporate provisions elsewhere. Why is it offensively presumptive for this branch of government to say that the legislature just didn't mean what it did?
Your Honor, I think that statutory construction is the very grist of this court's mill. This court construes statutes every day, all courts do. In this case, we have a statute that is subject to a reasonable construction that would not offend the legislature. Statutes are presumed to be entirely effective or all portions of the statute are presumed to be effective. Here we have a statute that contains a reference that would be a meaningless nullity that was just left dangling there for either 2 years or 4 years, depending on how you look at it, without any actual effect on anything. The legislature could not have intended 4213, the reference to 4213, to mean nothing for a 2 year or 4 year period, and it would not offend the principles of construction for this court to give that reference the meaning intended by the legislature.
Counsel, let me ask you another question. The Texas Government Code, section 311.027, provides that a reference to any portion of a statute applies to all reenactments, revisions, or amendments of the statute. What we have here, isn't this simply a reenactment under another number of the same statute?
That's correct, Your Honor. That's our position, and I'm sorry that I was unable to get the 14th Court of Appeals to even address that argument. The 14th Court of Appeals distinguished on its facts the case from San Antonio Court of Appeals that set out that proper rule of statutory construction, in that that probation was not received during the period in which 4213 did not exist. The principle, though, applies regardless of when the probation was received. When you have a reference statute and the statute referred to is reenacted, under the Code Construction Act, it is a requirement that the reference statute be construed as being unaffected in its scope. Another portion of the Code Construction Act that we believe to be very relevant are the ones considered by the Austin Court of Appeals in recently deciding this very issue in our favor in a case that was decided after I filed my application for writ of error in this court. It's a case called, the petitioner's initials were P.E., I believe it's Travis County District Attorney's Office versus P.E. That court held that the legislature is presumed to have intended a just and reasonable result. It also, under the Code Construction Act, noted that statutes are to be construed to avoid having unreasonable consequences. The construction applied by the court below is both unjust and unreasonable in its consequences, and was certainly not the objective intended by the legislature in promulgating the expunction statute originally.
You read Exhibit A, which was attached to the amicus brief filed by the Bexar County District Attorney's Office?
Your Honor, I was informed this morning that an amicus brief had been filed. I've not yet been provided a copy with. Thank you, Your Honor.
Any other questions?
Thank you, Counsel.
The court is ready to hear argument from respondent.
William Tipton, here for respondent, RJS, in this case, Your Honor. The question here is... RTS, I'm sorry. And the question here is, did she satisfy the requirements for expunction under Article 5501? Did she satisfy it? And this is what you look to. I realize that 4213 is a statute that's been partially repealed in 85, then completely repealed in 87. But looking at the law, between 1987 and 1989, there's a two-year window where there was no Article 4213.
Was there a 4212?
Yes, Your Honor, there was a 4212 at that time.
How do you get around the government code 311.027? Because it clearly says that a reference to any portion of a statute applies to all reenactments, revisions, or amendments. And it also says in construing a statute, whether or not the statute is considered ambiguous, a court may consider legislative intent.
Okay. First, there's two steps. 4213 of the Code of Procedure was put into 4212 The 4213 was a misdemeanor adult probation statute. It was all consolidated in adult probation statute 4212. This was done in 85. They left one small portion of 4213 in existence. This is the payment of attorney's fees, I believe, section 6C. It's the only section that was left. Why this was left for the two-year period, 1985 to 1987, and then repealed. So it's a four-year period. We have two different legislatures, and we have a third legislative session, the last one in 1989, coming along and resolving the problem, but in a prospective nature only. Now, the amendments and repeals, do you mean to say that it would take 5501 would be, it's the controlling statute, and it still is in effect? Just because 4213 is not there and is not around, can you take that as a condition in 5501? Is it a condition that must exist that prevents you from getting your records expunged? If it's not there, okay, I satisfied the conditions, the clear meaning of the statute.
Counsel, have you read the brief filed by the Bexar County District Attorney's Office?
No, Your Honor, I've not seen that one.
They quote the legislative history. It says, this bill was originally enacted to deal with people who were wrongfully arrested. Are you claiming that your client was wrongfully arrested?
No, Your Honor.
Turning to another page, it says, we made it also clear that in a misdemeanor case, that if the charges are no longer pending because he was given misdemeanor probation or conditional discharge, he cannot get the record expunged. Now, this court can look to legislative history, and that's what the legislative history says.
Okay. There is a case out of the Dallas Court of State versus RB, 699 Southwestern 2nd, 296, that did allow a person who apparently had probation, pled guilty, to have it expunged due to the fact that the court wrote on it, no court-ordered supervision. I mean, they would just put that in there, and this allowed the person to successfully complete it without doubt. They allow that. So apparently the wrongful arrest didn't matter in that particular case. And did I answer that question? I'm sorry. Okay. The main thrust is that my client did not receive court-ordered supervision under Article 4213, Vernon's Annotated Code of Criminal Procedure. She could not have because it did not exist. The legislature, as I said, came along in 1989 and corrected this. They substituted the word probation for the word supervision. There's been a lot of confusion in the cases between probation and supervision, whether it's supervised or probation. They say, hey, it's probation. No question about that now.
What public policy would be served by expunging your client's criminal record?
Public policy?
Yes.
I'm not sure if there's any public policy. I know it certainly benefit her. I'm not trying to say. I think that she was not, it was a small amount of marijuana that was brought in, but I'm saying that the clear reading of the law on 4213, when you go back to look at it, was not being in existence. Therefore, she qualified under 5501. That's what my contention is. And that, also, there were no findings of fact and conclusions of law brought up in this court trial. And I feel that that should be all reasonable evidence and theory that is consistent with the evidence should be considered in favor of my client.
And does not society have a legitimate public interest in keeping up with sex offenders and people who import illegal drugs into this country?
Yes, Your Honor. If I might comment on this, that she was brought in, I think there was a small amount of marijuana found in her suitcase by Customs. She was turned over to the Houston Police Department, and it became a state case that she was never charged with smuggling. I mean, although it could be considered as such, but I'm saying the nature of the case became a state case instead of a federal.
She didn't declare it on her form
she
when she
not.
Arrived at the airport.
She did not. Certainly not. I noticed you asked whether or not that the DWI statutes would be seriously affected. With this, this is incorrect. A DWI passed January 1st, 1984 is a final conviction regardless of whether you get probation. So there can be no DWIs. They're probated. They're not allowed to be deferred. They're allowed to be probated, but if they are probated, they are final. It is in the Article 6701L, Section 3H. For purposes of this article, a conviction that occurs after January 1st, 1984 is a final conviction whether or not the sentence for the conviction is probated. No need to worry about DWIs during this two-year window. That's one area we don't have to worry about anymore. I don't know if people are going to be flooding in to expunge their records. We have a two-year window with a four-year statute of limitations. Once that's gone, the question is going to be moved, but I understand it's still around.
Limitations will run in 1993?
Yes, Your Honor. It's a four-year. I guess it's not specifically addressed in the code, but it's under the general provisions where it's not mentioned, so it would be 4 years.
Run no later. It could run as early as 1991 on some of
the... Well, I think it's a four-year one, since it's not mentioned, I think. And there's another case that, although it didn't hold for expunction, but it did the converse. It's called Texas Department of Public Safety versus Wiggins, so 688 Southwestern 2nd 288. It's an El Paso case. It says that the right to expunction is available only when the statutory conditions of the article, meaning 5501, have been met. The court having no equitable power to extend the clear meaning of the statute. Now, is that the converse truth? Do we go ahead and look at legislative intent that may not really be there over two to even three legislative sessions? And I respectfully hold that looking at the clear wording of the statute, my client could not have been supervised under 4213. And she did qualify under Article 5501 to have her records expunged. I do understand your argument for public policy, but I think that a person has to look to the statute as it's written. I felt she qualified and presented to the 14th Court of Appeals. They looked at it. They apparently agreed. They didn't hold that it was meaningless because...
they never addressed the government code, did they?
They never did, Your Honor.
Is there any principle that would have us interpret criminal statutes differently than non-penal statutes?
Well, penal statute has to be strictly construed. That's always your rule in your criminal law. But this is a right to expunction. It says so.
So coming in the
so it would be strictly construed if it's a code of criminal procedure. However, this is a strange case because it's a civil case. We take it up on that side. We do not take it up on the criminal side. So
the Code Construction Act and civil principles must apply to.
I would say this is a civil case.
The way we balance it.
Right. It is not strictly a criminal statute, I would say. So.
Are you familiar with the Austin Fields Court case cited by your colleague?
Yes, Your Honor, I am, and it does conflict. I believe that is. Have it here. It's. The Department of Public Safety versus P.E. P.E. P. Period E. I believe, and it's Court of Appeals, Austin, Texas, August 8, 1990, 794 Southwestern 2nd 604, and at page 608, they tend to emphasize the holding in Myers, which says that. The purposes allow persons who are wrongfully arrested to expunge their records. They feel that should not be done. They agree with Myers on that case. They don't go into the government code very much, considering the contention of the appellee, PE, having not been supervised under 4213. They say, well, under the government code 311.021, that's enough. They don't really go into it very far. They don't address it to any extent. But here the trial court and the 14th Court of Appeals upheld it. seeing it was a court trial, there were no findings of fact and conclusive law. This may be one explanation why they upheld the fact that the court held there was no ambiguity to that court, that expunction is a right, not a privilege, and that by repealing 4213, the legislature abolished one of the exceptions to the right to expunge. This is the conclusions of fact and law of the trial court, and 14th Court of Appeals did adopt that. And I would respectfully request this court to uphold the 14th Court's decision. Thank you.
Any questions? Thank you, Counsel.
Your Honor, if I could just clarify one very brief point. It's true that for the purposes of the statute setting out the mandatory jail times for DWI subsequent offenders, it is considered a final conviction. In other words, it can always be used for subsequent punishment purposes. However, that statute very specifically says that it is limited to that particular chapter or article, I believe, of the Code of Criminal Procedure. So I'm not entirely certain whether the argument that Mr. Tipton is providing me, if I ever need to make it on a DWI probation, will prevail. Beyond that, we're talking about literally hundreds of thousands of theft, drug, sexual offenses of every nature that the legislature has always authorized the use of these convictions in subsequent punishment hearings. And the permitting the expunction of the records of those probations will simply do away with those statutes that allows their subsequent use in evidence. We would ask that this court follow the principle of statutory construction that suggests that conflicting statutes be harmonized whenever possible. And these can be harmonized simply by holding that when the legislature barred expunction of court-ordered supervision under 4213, they meant misdemeanor probation. Thank you very much, Your Honor.
Any questions? Thank you, Counsel. That concludes the arguments in this cause. The foregoing three causes are submitted on briefs and oral arguments. The court has concluded its business for the day, and the marshal will now adjourn the court.
Please rise. Oyez, oyez, oyez. Honorable Supreme Court of Texas, now stand adjourned.